The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Good, Brother Palmore, thank you for that. Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. The Bible says, casting down imaginations, that's plural, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And we have been teaching about knowing the Holy Spirit. I taught on the Holy Spirit in God's Word, the Holy Spirit and regeneration, the Holy Spirit in a prayer life tonight, the Holy Spirit in control. The Bible teaches that before salvation, you and I are dead in trespasses and sin. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit quickens your spirit, whereby you become alive in Christ. The Bible teaches that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. That means this, it means it's spiritually understood. I've said this often, that a lost man can come to a service. He can understand the knowledge of the Bible, but does not understand the spiritual significance or the value of Bible truth. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals that onto man. Before a man receives Christ as Savior, all he can do is know about God, but he does not know God personally as his Heavenly Father. Now tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to study that which is how the Holy Spirit can be in control of your life. May I say, unless a person is right with God, walking with God, and obeying God, there can be no Holy Spirit control in our lives. So how is it that you and I, as a child of God, can prepare to have the Holy Spirit to control us? Well, just like there's the Trinity. We know the Trinity as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know that's the Trinity. Well, we were created in the image of God, whereby you and I are created threefold in the image of God. We are that which is a person that is created in God's image, having a spirit, having that which is a mind, and having a body. Often we have referred to that which is the mind as understanding, that is the soul, because the soul is comprised of three: the mind, the will, and the emotions. So we understand that God created man and he gave man a spirit. We understand that God created man and gave man that which is a mind. We understand that God created man and God created man with a body. I want to give you six ways tonight where these three can be interchanged, and according to how they are interchanged and who you serve, whether it is that which is the body, whether it is that which is the mind, or whether it is that which is the spirit, is as much as the Holy Spirit can control you. In order for these, if you will, please, to be in the right order, is the order, when they're right, that God has complete control. Let's look at it. Statement number one: first, spirit; second, mind; third, body. I want to give you a scripture that will show this very, very clearly. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Now, what does that mean? That means entirely. All right, as we study our Bible, God says, I want to be able to sanctify you. I want to be able to give you peace. The word sanctification means it is set apart for God's use. All right, so he says, with that in mind, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole. Now watch the order and watch what God names in that particular verse. I pray, now watch what it says here. He says, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Now, blameless means without blemish. It means that it is under complete control, surrendered, if you will, unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the way that a spiritual man prioritizes. He prioritizes what God shows him to do. That's the spirit. And then he begins to think with his mind, the soul comprised of the mind, the will, and the emotions. So he gets his mind involved. And then his mind tells his body what to do. And so you have that which is a man. You ever hear of somebody being spirit-led? You ever heard the terminologies there? Okay, so a spirit-led man controls his mind, and his mind tells his body what to do. All right, now God says that's the way it should be, as you see aligned in the scriptures. All right, so the spirit controls the mind controls the body. In other words, the mind tells the body what to do. But it's the spirit that guides the mind in the right direction. By the way, that's a person that has character. The mind tells the, if you will, please, the body when to get up in the morning. The mind tells the body when to go to bed at night. The mind tells the body what to eat, how much to eat, when to work, and when to quit work. All right? So it is the mind that tells the body what to do. But how does the mind know what to do? The mind is surrendered through your spirit to God's spirit, whereby now we have the leading of the Holy Spirit to show us the direction in which to go. In other words, you know, the appetites that the body has is controlled by the mind. It's really sad when the appetites controls the body. Not only does the mind tell the body what to do, but the spirit tells the mind what to do. I'll go a step further and think about this. The spirit tells the mind, and then, if you will please, the body does what the mind says to do because the spirit leads the mind. So when a person is spirit controlled, his mind is in control of his body only to the degree that his mind is in control of the spirit. That's pretty easy to understand. Statement number two, let's look at another arrangement. And so there's the spirit first, okay, and then there's the body. So spirit first, secondly there's the body, and then there's the mind. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. The body says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Now notice this, as we study this arrangement, here's the spirit is first, so it's a saved person. Spirit is first, spirit is quickened, made alive in Christ. All right, so the spirit, if you would please, is first, okay? Watch this, if you will please, and here's a person that is saved, but his body is now controlling his mind. So what is that? Well, that's a procrastinator. What is that? That's where the spirit tells the body what to do, and then the body comes back and says, "No, I'm not going to do that." What is that? That's a saved person who is spiritual, perhaps, maybe even sincere, but not productive. It's a person that tries to live without a schedule. It's the person that is not self-disciplined. It's the person that has no set prayer time, no set Bible reading time, no set time to tell others about Christ. The spirit tells the body what to do, and then the body says back to that which is the mind, "No, I'm not going to do that." Now, understand that this is where bad grades come in. Understand, this is where somebody has no budget and gets in debt comes in. Understand that this is a person that has good intentions, but they still live a messed up life. Some of the finest Christians I know have wrong priorities in their life. Oh, they're sincere. Oh, yeah, they do love the Lord, but they only love the Lord and obey the Lord when they feel the urge. They only love the Lord and obey the Lord, or pray, if you will, when they feel the urge. Oh, they testify at testifying meetings, I want to serve Jesus all the days of my life, but it doesn't pan out when it comes to their devotion. It's tragic to see such a waste of a life. There's statement number one. There's a person that has the spirit first, and they have a sound mind, if you would please, second. And then the body is last. By the way, that is the best way to be. And then you have the person that has the spirit first, the body is second, and then their mind is like, oh, let's look at another one. Here's a person has first the body, and then second the spirit, then third the mind. Well, what is that about? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, that's capital S, Holy Spirit, and the spirit, talking about God's spirit now, it says against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, you know this to be true. If you study the book of Galatians, especially chapter 5, you see that there is a war going on. The war inside of you is your flesh as a combatant to your spirit being submissive to God's spirit. And it's a continual fight. Now, here's a believer. A believer, if you would please, where the spirit controls, if you will, his mind, all right, so yeah, probably saved, but his body controls his spirit. Think about this. Because of this, no doubt he has religious intentions. No doubt he associates, if you will, please, however, the physical with the religion, such as, you know, they like the beat, if you will, the sensuous type of beat with the music. They'll want a religious type of song, but they want a rock type of music behind it. Now, why? Because the body is first, the spirit is second, they're identifying, their flesh is first identifying with that which makes them feel comfortable and accepted. And then they do want a mixture of the spirit in there. So they thank God that there's a mixture of some type of spirit in there that points them at least to God. And then the mind is very last. This type of Christian, they'll wear excessive makeup to try and feel accepted. They'll fix themselves up a certain way because they feel like they need to earn the love of God. And may I say this tonight? You don't have to earn the love of God. God loves you for who you are. Okay, somebody says, well, if I live for God more, he'll love me. The love of God that you'll ever get the very day that you understood who God was, but God even loved you as a filthy, wretched sinner before the day of conversion. We understand, however, that this kind of Christian, they're more apt to get involved in a charismatic type of movement, something that appeals to the flesh first. You know, bear in mind, sincere, bear in mind, probably saved, bear in mind his religion, but his religion is always going to be flavored to the flesh.
Right.
Always going to be flavored to the flesh. You hear people say this all the time. Well, I want to go to a church where I'm moved. But you can go to a ball game and be moved. You can eat rotten pizza and be moved. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying first there's the body, second there's the spirit, and then third there's the mind. Let's notice another one. Can we do it quickly? First there's the mind. The mind. First there's the mind. By the way, listen to me. It is hard, difficult, nigh impossible to have victory after victory in your Christian life if you don't put these things in proper order.
Right.
Yes, sir. It is difficult. God did not give you a life to please you.
Right.
God gave you a life only to please one, and that's him.
Amen.
And so we understand that if we don't get these things in proper order, then we never will understand what it's like to be spirit-filled. First, there's the mind. Notice number four. Then, secondly, there's the spirit. Thirdly, there's the body. First Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now, by the way, you'll notice here in a minute, knowledge is a gift that God gave. You notice this. The Bible says we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up. But charity, it says, edifieth. So what does charity do? Charity lifts up. Knowledge, what does it do? It puffs up. How do you keep knowledge under control? Well, the answer is found in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So who gave us knowledge to begin with? God gave us knowledge. How do we get that knowledge? The base of knowledge is found in the fear of the Lord. The Bible says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know that there are very knowledgeable people that God looks at and says, that's a fool. Amen. Even though they have a great amount of knowledge, God's looking at them and says, that's a fool. Now, why does God do that? Because answer in the Bible right here. They've despised something. Now, what did they despise? They despised wisdom and instruction. Now, where do I get the best wisdom and instruction? I get that from the Lord. That's why it's good to read your Bible. You know, you'll get things from reading your Bible that you will never get in any other book under heaven. You never will. How many times have you read your Bible, and as you're reading through your Bible, it was like, I never saw that before. But you read through your Bible 50, 60, 70, 80 times. And yet you come to that same verse, you come to that same chapter, the books have not rotated around, the verses have not changed, the same truth is there, and you look at, you ever do this? You ever go to a preaching service and the preacher says something, so, never heard that before. Well, it wasn't a new truth, it was a new illumination because of a need that you had in your life, and now you're more open to that truth. Because now God has given you the wisdom to be able to see it. It's amazing how God works. So now we're getting into a dangerous field. The mind is above the spirit. The spirit is above the body. All right, so this person, religious, has indicated, hey, the spirit is there. But usually he's not willing to accept the revealed word of God. He's not willing to accept the fundamentals of the faith. He can only accept that which he understands. If he cannot understand it and he cannot explain it, then he doesn't accept it. Why? Because the mind is first. The spirit is second. The body is third. He wants to understand it all. He wants to figure it all out. You know, he's religious, for the spirit, if you will, pleases over the body, but still it's not in proper order. His mind determines his religion. If you would please, he becomes involved in spiritual idolatry because it's all about him. He's got the answer. He knows it all. All right? And so he becomes his own self-made God. Now watch this, if you will. This group, it would include the liberals. It's going to include the cultists. It's going to include the legalists. You know, where they try to make their own way to heaven. They are going to figure it out. And if I can't figure it out, then it must not be true. This is a person that puts their mind first. Then their spirit comes along. And then, of course, that which is the body. All right? They follow the way that seems right in their own eyes. Many of these, you got to be careful. They lodge themselves in theological types of colleges and stuff like that, only to try to disprove the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection of our Savior, that which is the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. They put questions in young people's minds. Yea, hath God said? And they try to get a young person to doubt God under their spiritual teaching. You have to be very careful about that. They're more concerned about figuring out God than they are about believing God. They're more concerned about trying to explain God than they are walking by faith to trust God. It's tragic because a lot of times what takes place is this group will rise up in responsibilities in our religious educational institutions, and the devil uses them to bring doubt and distrust to the Scriptures because of the fact they have their mind first, they don't have a strong faith, They're not trusting the Holy Spirit to lead them, and they're trying to discern the things of God with their own illogical thinking. I'm saying statement number one, and I'll give you the thoughts of the matter again. There's the person that has the spirit first, second the mind, third the body. Then there's the secondly, there's the spirit first, second the body, third the mind. And you say, oh, preacher, this is just so mind-boggling. That's why I gave you notes. Thirdly, there's the body, there's secondly the spirit, and then there's the mind. And then fourthly, there's the mind, then there's the spirit, and there's the body. Let's look at the next one. Okay, almost done. Here we go. Why? There is first the mind, second the body, and third the spirit. The Bible talks about this person. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, he that thinketh in his heart, listen to it now, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. All right. So here's a person, if you would please. It's one in the sense of the matter, because his mind is over his body. Think about this. But his body is over his spirit. Man, the spirit is all the way down the line. You know, since his mind is over his body, this person normally has a lot of character. They're putting their mind to willful effort. They're studying, they're thinking, they're concentrating. These are smart, well-equipped people. I mean, most of the time you'll see they're successful, they're hard workers, he pays his debts, he cares for his body, could be a doctor, could be a lawyer, educator, a successful businessman, or something like that, that only thinks that what matters is his thoughts. I'm going to give you a brass statement. Are you ready? An educated fool is more dangerous than an uneducated fool. An educated fool is more dangerous than an uneducated fool. Now, why? Number one, the wealth of knowledge. Number two, the advantage over somebody that does not have that height or depth of education. You know, he's what we call as somebody that pursues. And matter of fact, lazy people would say this is an overachiever. But this person, because the spirit is probably somebody that might not even be saved, because the spirit doesn't matter. I mean, he's last, if you would please. Only considered when maybe a funeral service comes up. Only consider doing a Christmas cantata. Only considered when there's a dire emergency. Okay? One of the reasons he might not be saved is, now understand, this is a person of great, great character. And I've known many, many businessmen of great character. When we lived in New York, we worked with a lot of businessmen. And here's what some of the businessmen would say. And I'm very good friends with several businessmen, not just in our church, but out of our church, some that are saved and some that are lost. And here's what I hear from a lost businessman. I hear this often. Well, I don't want to trust the Jesus that preacher that you're talking about, because after all, I have Christians that work for me and they don't have character. They're the ones that steal. They're the ones that cheat. I've had businessmen tell me this: I'd rather trust a lost person than I would a Christian. They're always late. They're never on time. They never sacrifice. All right? So wait a minute. You know that person that has their mind first, and then secondly their body, and then also their spirit? They need to be reached with the gospel too. Well, come on, somebody say amen or something. Grunt, let me know you're at least with me. Okay, here's the last one. Okay, then there's first the body, the last one. First the body, and then the mind, and then that which is the spirit. Now, this is the most dangerous crowd of all. First the body, then the mind, and then that which is the spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's the body, by the way. The Bible says, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Okay, so here's the most dangerous one of all, and here's what happens. They are those that believe anything goes. I mean, after all, I'm going to put my body first. Anything goes. Whatever I need to do to serve that body, that's what I'm going to do. They're going to satisfy their fleshly or their physical appetites first, and that is their motto. These are they that build, if you would please, a very permissive type of society, and they spawn at that which is situation ethics. You know, I mean, after all, if it suits me first, if it serves me first, if I get the most out of it, then it must be right. It must be right. Okay? Their mind is above their spirit, and they have little use of God because their mind is above their spirit. Spirit way down the line. They have little use of the Bible. They have little use of what matters most when faced with eternity. Anything that is not temporal, that doesn't concern them. You know, they're not concerned about that which is eternal things. Now, why? Because the body controls the mind. Somebody that is sensuous like this many times will have a dirty mind. Will have a beastly type of appetites. You know, they're all about the material things. By the way, this is where you get your atheist. This is where you get your agnostics. And this is what ruins societies. Why? Because of the fact that here's an individual that has the body first, and then the mind, and then the spirit. All right, so where are you tonight? Think about it. Think about the categories, okay? Are you the one that is spirit-controlled? And because you're spirit-controlled, your spirit, being in oneness with God, controls your mind, and your mind controls your body? Is that where you are? Are you tonight in the group that has the spirit first, and the spirit controls that which is the body, and then the body controls the mind? Are you in the group where the body is first, if you will, and the body then controls the spirit, and then the spirit controls the mind? That's the one that's always, if you will, trying to look for a religion that appeals to their flesh. Are you the person tonight that's in that fourth group, if you will, and where all of a sudden now we find that our mind, if you will, our mind is in charge? You want to understand everything. If you can't understand it, it must not be true. If you can't accept it, then, you know, it just can't be real. Is that where you are tonight? Are you in the group that, if you will, please, has the mind first and then the body and then the spirit? Putting the Spirit last, talking about the Son of God, talking about the one that gives you that which is the ability to obey the Holy Spirit because your spirit has been quickened and made alive? Or are you in that last group, most dangerous, the one that has the body first, the one that has the mind second, the one that has the spirit? You know, where are you at? Now, by the way, you can change those around any way you want to, and sometimes you will change them around relatively quickly. Based on decisions, based on circumstances, based on all those different things. But can I tell you, the best way to be tonight is to have your spirit lined up with God's spirit, and your spirit, as you walk with God, allowing God to show you what to do, and then you take your mind and you figure out how to obey God, and then you command your body to do what it is supposed to do. That's the best way to be. Coming to church on a Wednesday night, hard. Here's what you did. You said, God, I love you. I'm going to put you first. You made up your mind that you would bring your body to church. Amen. You did that tonight. When it comes to tithing, giving an offering, when it comes to passing out a Bible tract, when it comes to your personal prayer time, when it comes to encouraging a believer, when it comes to being that person, when we always put the Spirit first, and then we allow God to show us what to do so that we can say, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. Now I'm going to do it. It's not will I do it, it's I'm going to do it. And you make up your mind that I am going to obey God. No matter what God said, I'm going to obey God. And when I obey God, guess what? And I make my body do what it's supposed to do. How many of you, sometimes you come to church and you don't feel good? Raise your hand. Come to church, don't feel good. Yeah. How many sometimes you get off work and you say, I'd just rather go home because, I mean, after all, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Don't really want to go to church and hear the preacher. No, I'm not going to say that. But I just don't really want to go to church. I'm just tired. I'm tired. But I went to church anyway. Raise your hand. Yeah. All right. These are people that say, okay, I know through the Spirit of God and His Word what I'm supposed to do. I know it. I know what I'm supposed to do. Therefore, I'm going to make up my mind obeying God as to what I do, whether my body feels like it or not. Yeah, it's that way about reading the Bible. It's that way about praying. It's that way, you know, don't forget that we're supposed to obey God. Doesn't the Bible say they that worship Him, you ready for it? They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, you are a soul that has a body. Your soul will live on forever. It'll live on forever. It'll live on forever, either in hell or in heaven. You are a soul that has a body. When you got saved, God begins to work with your spirit to show you what is right. Holy Spirit led. I'm not talking about feelings. Don't forget that's the mind. The mind is the mind, the will, and the emotions. I'm not talking about you being emotionally led. I'm talking about you being Holy Ghost, Spirit led. And as you submit yourself to the Holy Ghost, and by the way, always lines up with the Bible. We talked about that last week. Always lines up with the Bible. Okay? And so as you submit yourself to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost says, you're supposed to do this. And you say, I don't want to do that. And the Holy Ghost says, you're supposed to do this. All right? And you bring your mind under subjection to God's leading. Then you tell your body what to do. That is the best way. That's why Paul said this. He said that he mortified the flesh. He said this, I die daily. What is he talking about? He wasn't talking about he physically died. He's talking about he's putting the right priorities in his life. How many times? Daily. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the privilege to be able to.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.